Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bibles with you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm happy to see that we are, it looks like the cone of uncertainty for the tropical storm is shifting away from us. So that's good, right? Except that's kind of the theme of 2020, right? We're all just living in one big cone of uncertainty. So whatever. If it shifts back, I won't be surprised. So this morning, we are wrapping up our guardrails series, which I'm excited to say we've been going through this for 5 weeks now, and man, this has been, I hope it's been as good for you as it has for me, just emphasizing these statements, these core values that we adhere to and are raising high here at our church moving forward. So if you're unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, so we have recently launched here at Kernan a new vision, a new five-year plan, a new five-year strategy to take us to the year 2025. And so we're really excited as a church to be part of this new vision and all of us doing this together. And so these guardrails, these core values are going to be the statements that if we live these out, right, not just put them on paper, but if we live these values out in our lives together as a church, then I believe 100% that God will do great things in and through us to reach Jacksonville, to reach this world for His glory, for His kingdom. So if you have any questions about the details of our five-year vision and plan, Kernan 2025, we have some information and documents we can give you to kind of lay out some of those details. We'll make those available to you, and feel free, of course, to always come up and ask me or a staff member about any details or questions you may have. But these core values, though, I can't overemphasize the importance of us living these out and making this just a part of who we are here as the body of Christ. So we are wrapping up today with our fifth core value. We believe membership is essential to one's commitment to the church. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, and also verses 26 and 27, Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." And then look down to verse 26. He continues, he says, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So I want to quickly review the first four core values we've already gone through. So week one, we talked about how we want to keep the gospel first, right? So we keep the gospel first here at Kernan. What that means is, listen, there's all kinds of other topics and issues that may come up as we talk about things in our worship service, as we talk about things in our community groups and classes, right? There's other things to talk about. Of course, the Bible's a big book with lots of details. But the number one thing that we put above all the other things, all the other topics and issues, is the gospel. That is the main thing. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came to earth as one of us, and He died in our place. That's the death you and I should have died, right? Because of our own sin and rebellion against our Creator, right? We should have been separated from His presence forever. But Jesus came and sacrificed His own life and died in our place. And if we put our faith in Him and in the resurrection that happened 3 days later when He rose Himself from the grave, and that was God the Father's approval, stamp of approval, saying, "I accept your sacrifice on the behalf of humanity." If we put our faith and our hope in what Jesus has done and not ourselves, in other words, if we truly make Him our Savior and not try to be our own Savior, through just trying to be a good person or trying to follow a bunch of rules or be a good church member or whatever, if Jesus is truly our Savior and we trust Him in that way, salvation is ours. That is the gospel. That's the gospel. And we want to keep that first here at Kernan moving forward. Nothing trumps that. The second core value is that we want to know what the Bible says and means, right? So God's spoken to us. He's given us revelation of himself, right? He's told us who he is. He's given us a written book, right? These are the words of God. So when the Creator speaks to us, we should listen, right? We should understand. We should seek to understand what he has to say. And so therefore, we hold the Bible very highly here at Kernan. It is authoritative. So we want to know what it says and we want to know what it means. Number three, we pray frequently and specifically. It's such a privilege and honor to be able to communicate with God the Creator. I mean, how awesome is it? Not just that he revealed himself to us through the Word and through Christ, but he also lets us communicate to him. Man, that's such an awesome privilege. And so we want to create continual rhythms and patterns of frequent prayer, but also come to him with specific details of our lives because he cares intimately about those details. Number four, we serve the needs of others before our own. And that's who we want to be here at Kernan. We want to put the interest of others before our own. That's the model that Jesus laid out for us. That was his life. His life was one of service. His life was one of sacrifice. We want to follow our Lord. We want to follow our Savior and live that same kind of life. Today is number five. It's last, but it's definitely not least. We want to talk about how we do all of those things together as the church, as one body, believing in our Lord and Savior. So therefore, we believe membership is essential to one's commitment to the church. So today what we're going to do, we're going to take kind of these two major phrases of this statement, of this sentence, and I want us to ask two related questions to really help us better understand the depth of this statement. So we're going to start at the end of the sentence, the commitment to the church. So obviously there's an assumption there, right? There's an assumption that what we're saying is that the church is worth committing to, right? That the church is valuable enough to make a commitment to. And so that brings up our first question today. Why commit to the church? Why actually commit to the church? Well, we humans, we tend to struggle with commitment, right? All of us, you know, it's like when I find what I think will be a good book, I'll go to Barnes & Noble or something, I'll buy a book, and I'm really excited about it. And man, let me tell you, I have read some great introductions. I've read a lot of great introductions to books. But my commitment level wanes over time. Like, I'll get to maybe the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, but I'm just ashamed to say that outside of studying for sermons and work-related stuff, the books I read on my own leisure time, like, I rarely finish them. Anybody else have that commitment issue? Yeah? Okay. Good. I'm glad to know I'm not alone with that. But here's the issue. We only stay committed to things we truly value. If you don't value something, you're not going to stay committed to it. You're just not. And so if we're going to commit to the church, we must first value the church and hold it as a high priority in our lives. But still, we haven't addressed the why, right? Why is that the case? Well, to understand the why we should value the church, we must understand two things. Number one, what the church is, and number two, why the church is important. So let's talk about what the church is, okay? So a simple definition of the church is this. The church is the people of God who have been saved through repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is the people of God who have been saved through repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've already explained to you the gospel just a minute ago. If you've put your faith in that, you are a member of the church. Now, there's two manifestations of the church, right? There's the universal, global church, which is all believers of all time from all places. So that means me and you and King David and Moses and any other Christian, Apostle Paul, like we're all members of the same universal, global body of Christ, the kingdom of God, right? Because we've all put our faith through Jesus with repentance and faith in him. So that's the universal church. But the universal, that church of all time, it manifests itself in local bodies, right? So Kernan Church, where we are right now, we are a local representation, right? We're kind of like a local sample size, so to speak, of the larger body. So the Bible uses several images and metaphors to describe this local body, the body of Christ. Number one is the family, right? We are the family of God. So that means that we've been adopted by God the Father into His family. We were spiritually orphans, right? We were straying from God. We were not a part of the family of God. We were doing our own thing, trying to save ourselves. But God's grace, that is greater than all our sin, intervenes into our hearts, and He adopts us into His family. And guess what? You get a seat at the table. You get a seat at the table. You get an inheritance. You get an eternal inheritance through Christ. So what an amazing privilege that we've been adopted into the family of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18 tells us about that. Not only that, the New Testament describes the church as the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. God is preparing us to be joined with Him forever in heaven. Ephesians 5:32 speaks of that. The New Testament also describes the church as being the building of God. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the foundation, and we are the living stones in His building that He builds the church up with. That's 1 Peter 2:5. And then, of course, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 12, the church is also the body of Christ. So that's what the church is. But now let's move on to why it's important. So we're still asking the big question, why commit, right? Why commit to the church? Well, let's talk about why it's important. So first of all, what we must understand is that the church was created and established by Jesus Himself. Man did not create the church. No one in the Middle Ages or the 2nd century or the 18th century, no one created the church. Jesus created and instituted the church. It's His possession. It's His idea. And guess what? That means that He values it. When you create something, you value it, right? So my 4-year-old daughter, occasionally she'll come up to us with a drawing that she's done, and I look at it and I say, oh, that is the prettiest tree, and that's the prettiest sun and river. And then she looks at me and says, Dada, that's a rocket ship. I knew that. I see it now, right? I see it now. But she values that no matter what it looks like or how off it may be, right? She values that because she created it. So how much more then should we value what Christ values, His creation, the church? Anything Jesus creates, He values, and He has placed extreme importance on the church. Therefore, so should we. But the reason Jesus prioritizes the church is because He died for her. Right? It's not just like, hey, you guys should care about this because I care about this. No, He died. He died for His bride. He died for His body, His building, His family. Ephesians 5:25 tells us Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Ephesians 1:22 and 23, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's the gospel. That God is drawing people to Himself. He's building a kingdom, and He's doing it through His church. His creation, His possession, His institution, His mission He's given us. You see, here's the thing. The church is God's plan A. What I mean is there is no plan B to reach this world for the glory of God. It's the church. Jesus began this mission by His life, death, and resurrection. But when He ascended to heaven, He gave His people what we call the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:18-20, listen to this. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What age is he talking about? He's talking about this era between him leaving the earth and giving us this responsibility and him coming back, which we have yet to experience and we look forward to. So this age that we're in, the in-between, between Christ leaving the earth after his resurrection, but waiting for him to return, guess what? This is the church age. This is the era in human history where we are called to live out this mission, to make disciples of all nations. It's our responsibility. Christ died for people. And we, as his people, are to reach other people with that great good news. It's good living hope for a hopeless world. It's the church's mission to continue what Jesus started. So do you see the importance? Right? This is no joke. This is not a social club. I mean, we are on mission together. So the church has this great responsibility, this privilege to participate in the building of God's kingdom and sharing the love and the good news of Jesus with a lost world. So as we study about the church in the New Testament, we see this even in our vision moving forward here at Kernan. The church is called to really do three things: to worship God, right? We lead the way in the worship of God on this planet, our Creator. The church worships God. But we also walk with the Lord, and we want to do that together. But we also witness to this world. Again, we're God's plan A. There is no plan B. So, in short, why is the church important? Because it belongs to Christ. And Christ gave up his life for us. We are eternally united with Christ, and we are his plan to work in and through us to redeem the world until he returns. That's why we must value the church and commit ourselves to it. It's his, and we are his. It only makes sense. So, that's the first question. Why should we commit to the church? But the second question, and you see this in our sentence, we believe membership is essential to one's commitment to the church. So let me ask this, why is formal membership essential to your commitment? Now, it's one thing to say, yeah, I'm committed, right? I'm committed to God, I'm committed to God's kingdom, I'm committed to his church, and that is great, yes. But why formal membership? Well, I think there's three reasons. All right, number one, it's biblical. It's the New Testament model, right? So throughout the New Testament, we see formal membership. The church is an organized body, right? It's not just a chaotic, random mess, right? It's an organized gathering. It's a clear organization. We see clear language about either being inside or outside the church in Matthew chapter 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We also see formal membership roles, right? That's how you know, man, the first church, they were definitely Southern Baptists, right? They had the roles. They were good to go, checking to see who read their Bible every day. So we don't do that here, just FYI. But we do have roles. We have formal membership roles in 1 Timothy chapter 5, right? 1 Timothy chapter 5. We see the language of adding people to the church in Acts chapter 2. We see the official offices and positions within the church, of course, namely elders, which are pastors, and deacons, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And having clear guidelines and organization of membership that also allows for us in an organized way to make decisions as a body as to how we should carry out the three purposes of the church, right? How do we need to worship? How do we need to walk? How do we need to witness? Well, one example would be every year we vote on our annual budget, which is very important, right? Church members vote on the annual budget. Why? Because that tells us how we use our resources to worship, walk, and witness. So, number one, why is formal membership essential? Well, it's biblical, right? That's the New Testament way. Number two, not only that, but it provides accountability to keep the body of Christ pure and healthy. Membership allows for us to keep the body of Christ pure and healthy. I mean, you want your own body to be healthy. Who doesn't? Well, why should we think otherwise when it comes to the body of Christ, his people, the church, right? Now, I think this happens in two major ways. Membership holds us accountable in two ways. One, our beliefs, but number two, also our practice, right? So our beliefs and our practice. So let's talk about beliefs for just a second. Now, I know what you're thinking. When we get to heaven, man, you know, you're going to have the Southern Baptists. We'll be, of course, we'll be in the back, right? We don't sit up front. So, you know, the Southern Baptists will be seated in the back, on the back few rows, and then you'll have the Presbyterians, and then you'll have the Methodists, right? And then you'll have the Episcopalians, right? So that's how it's going to be in heaven, right? We're all going to be separated? No? No, of course not, right? That's silly. I mean, and it's kind of crazy and funny to think about, but like, when we get to heaven, it's just going to be one church. And praise God for that. We're going to all be together worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, differences aside. Now, here's the thing. Why is it not like that now? Like, why do we have different denominations? Well, I think kind of a short, easy answer is that we're human. We're human, which means we're sinful, which means we have disagreements on certain important issues. And listen, that's okay to an extent, right? Like, it's okay to disagree on certain things. That's why we have different organizations in life and all kinds of things. But when it comes to church membership, in terms of formally belonging to the same local church, there does need to be agreement on certain important issues. Now, why is that? Well, because if not, eventually you're going to have division in the church, right? So what I mean is there are some things we must agree on. So you've heard me reference what they call the theological pyramid, right? Thank you, Kyle. So you've heard me reference this before, and this is just a simple tool to explain what I'm saying, a visual tool to understand. You know, first of all, you have on the top level, these are the most important issues, right? So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the divinity of Jesus, the fact that Jesus is God. We believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are first level issues. Listen, those are issues you have to believe to be a Christian. I don't care what denomination you are. Those are just issues you need to affirm to even have a relationship with God, right? But then you go down to the second level, and that's kind of more what we're talking about today. These are issues that are essential to a particular denomination, right? So Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc., right? These are issues where we just to do church in an organized fashion, in unified way, yes, we here at Kernan hold to the Baptist faith and message of 2000. That's our official belief document. Okay, so we hold to those beliefs as Baptists. And that's unapologetically, right? We believe those things. So baptism, who can be a pastor, who can partake in the Lord's Supper, right? These are issues that, yes, to be a member here, you need to affirm those things. But then you have the third level issues, which are differences of opinion within the same local church, right? And that's okay, right? We don't all have to agree on every little detail under the sun to go to church together and to love each other and to serve each other, right? It's okay if we don't all have the exact same political view. My goodness, it's okay, all right? but as long as we affirm level one and level two, then yes, here we are, the body of Christ unified together. So we don't have to agree on everything, but yes, we do have to agree on some things. That's how membership holds us accountable in our beliefs, right? All right. But not only our beliefs, but also our practice, how we carry out our beliefs, because you practice what you actually believe, right? So I think our beliefs are number one priority, yes, but our practice is important as well. So what I mean is we want to keep the body of Christ pure and healthy. That's what we're talking about. And membership allows for us to hold one another accountable in the practice of our beliefs. So again, here at Kernan, we believe God has given us a 5-year vision, and this vision states our practice, right? This is how we want to exercise and practice our beliefs. We exist to make disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go, right? So we want to hold one another accountable and encourage one another and help one another come alongside each other so that this statement becomes a reality, so that it becomes a reality in our church, in the health and culture of this congregation. So membership provides that kind of accountability. So we can come alongside each other. We can bear one another's burdens. We can encourage one another when someone's down. We can know that we are in this together. That's the beauty of it. And so on that note, that leads us to the third reason formal membership is essential to our commitment to the church. Number three, it's an expression of your commitment to God and others, right? It's good. It's good to express this commitment in that formal way. When you become a member here at Kernan, you are really making an agreement with everyone here and also with God himself, right? It's a statement. It's a declaration. Essentially, what you're doing is you're declaring, hey, I'm one of you guys now, right? So we can then say truthfully, heart to heart, member to member, we can say, you know what? Man, we're in this together. We're in this together. No matter what comes, no matter what cones of uncertainty we are living in, man, we're in the trenches together because we're one. We're united. Let's do this. Man, let's be a part of something bigger than ourselves. I don't want to be the Lone Ranger. I want to be connected. I want to know that you've got my back. You need to know that I've got your back, right? And that's what the church allows. When we hold membership highly in this way, in this biblical way, right? We're not trying to exclude anyone. We're just saying, listen, man, we're in this together because this is a fight. It is, right? It's not a social club. I don't know if you've noticed the world recently, but it's not exactly moving in the direction of holiness, right? So as the church, man, we've got to stick together if we're going to live out the Christian faith in a more and more secularized world, in a postmodern culture, in a post-Christian culture. Man, we've got to band together, guys. Like, we're in this together. Membership is a declaration. It's an expression that we have committed ourselves to one another and to God together. It's a beautiful thing, really. So let's work together for something bigger than ourselves. What a powerful, powerful idea and creation Jesus gave us to unite us and to keep us together through thick and thin. It's a really beautiful thing, his body, the church. Paul articulates it well in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's it. That's it. The body builds itself up in love when we are united together with that strong commitment saying, I am with you and you're with me. Let's do this. And who wouldn't want to be a part of that? So, moving forward, I hope you understand now why we should commit to the church. I hope you understand not just the church in general, but what Kernan's about. And we're excited. We are super excited about the next 5 years. And yes, there's uncertainty and there's unknowns in the future, always. That's life. But what I know is this, we serve a very gracious, loving, faithfully steadfast God who will carry us exactly where we need to be if we remain faithful to him and each other. Man, let's do that. So listen, if you're here today, and I want to be clear, this is not a sales pitch, okay? It's not. I mean, this is one of our core values. This is so much bigger than just right now, this moment today. But I do want you to know, if you are here today and you have questions about joining our church, we have very clear requirements and a process, and it's It's not complicated. Number one, you have to be a Christian. That should make sense, right? In other words, salvation must be true, that you've experienced that, that you have confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've committed your life to following Him. That's the first requirement. The second requirement is that you be baptized. We just saw that just a minute ago, right? A baptism, that's the symbol saying, yes, I have committed my life to Christ. I'm declaring that publicly by taking that first step of obedience after following the Great Commission that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28. Number three, if this only applies if you're coming from another church, right? If you're coming from out of town or something like that, listen, we welcome you, and we're so glad you're here. All we ask is that you have good standing with your previous church. Listen, I say this jokingly but seriously, right? All that means is, look, if you were causing problems at your last church, we don't really want you to come here and do that either, okay? Just saying. Number four, just meet with the pastor, right? All that means is we just want to get to know you. We want to hear your salvation testimony and answer any questions that you may have, right? That's very important. You want to know what you're getting into here, and we do too, of course. And then number five, we're really excited about this. We're asking everyone to complete a 3-week Discover Kernan class. So we've revamped this. We're really excited. This is coming up. And I'm happy to announce, because some of you have been waiting, yes, we have a date now for our next Discover Kernan class. That's going to be September 13th, 20th, and 27th. So 3-week class during our community group hour from 10 to 10:45. So if you're interested at all about joining our church, I know many of you have been waiting for that date to be announced, and so we're happy now that we were finally able to nail that down. The coronavirus really threw some things off, obviously, with scheduling, but so we're excited to move forward with Discover Kernan. And I want you to know, listen, just because you attend the class, that doesn't mean, like, you could come to the class even if you're not sure you want to join the church. That's okay, right? This is just an informative class for you to learn about the church, but yes, it is required for membership. So anyways, just if you have any questions at all, please feel free to email the church, find us. You can talk to one of us about it, one of the staff members afterwards. We'd love to get you signed up. We'll communicate the sign-up process for Discover Kernan over the next coming weeks. So in closing, though, before Kyle closes us out in song, you know, I just want to ask you personally, what about you? Like, where do you stand? And I'm not just talking, please hear me out. This is not about just your commitment to Kernan, but where do you stand with your commitment to the body of Christ, the kingdom of God? Where do you stand with your commitment to Christ, to His body, to His people? That's such an important question for all of us to answer, and answer truthfully in our hearts. Well, for those of you watching online, thank you so much. I want you to know that we love you and we miss you, and we are excited for the day soon enough when we will all be back together. Hey, if you're watching at home right now, we want you to know that you can email the church. Our email address is info@kernanchurch.com, info@kernanchurch.com. Feel free to email us with any questions you may have about salvation, baptism, becoming a member. We would love to schedule a time to meet with you and answer all of those questions. And for those of you here today, hey, if you're a first-time guest with us this morning, we're so glad that you are here. I will be out in the cafe, which is just out these doors right here, and to my left in the big atrium there. So I would love to meet you after the service is over. So feel free to come by and introduce yourself. And Kyle's going to close us out. Let me pray for us, and we'll be done, and then we'll sing a song. God bless you guys. Y'all have a great week. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving us and being so gracious to us. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you that you sacrificed your life so that you could unite us together to yourself and to one another. Lord, may we never take for granted the wonderful, awesome privilege of knowing you as our personal Lord and Savior and being connected to one another in such a special, unique way, a supernatural way. Lord, there is nothing as great as the church in this world. There is no human organization that can compare to the supernatural power and unity of your body, your church. So, Lord, let us never take it for granted. Let us cherish and value you first and your people second, Lord, as we do this together. Give us great wisdom and love and grace to extend to one another. We thank you for your sacrifices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.